I've been looking forward to this Sunday morning for a year. John 5:24 says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." Let me read that one more time. John 5:24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." I wanted to open up with that passage. You're going to hear it again later this morning because it captures really what we are going to see this morning. Today is all about the power of the gospel to transform our lives. Over this Sunday and next Sunday, we are going to watch 5 videos of our members' testimonies and what God has done in their lives. You know, we all have a story, but it's quite intimidating to sit down in front of a video camera and describe your darkest days for the world to see. But these brave souls have done that for you today. And even if you've attended New Song for years, today you will learn part of their life story for these that are sharing that you've never heard before. This started last year with a Sunday morning class. I would like Paul to come share for a minute on this class on how to tell our testimonies. And then after that, I've got a few remarks before we watch our first video.
Good morning. The picture that comes to my mind is looking Jeremiah in the eye when I get to heaven. What did you do with the good news? And thinking, well, you don't understand, Jeremiah. I got this whole spectrum of when I share the gospel with people, I don't do it very much anymore because I get indifference or I get hostility, you know, or, you know, that's great for you. It's just not great for me. So it occurs to me that we have the good news of Jesus Christ, and we need to remember that this is something that is more than just, well, it didn't work, so I give up. In Proverbs 11:30, it says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls." How can we be wise and win souls? Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:19-23, talks about becoming all things to all men so that he might just save some. He'll do anything to save people. So what? How can we do anything to win people? And when I put together this class, I thought, well, let's go beyond the usual, let's make a testimony tract. I have like 3 cheap testimony tracts that I produced over the years at the most minimal possible cost. But I thought, how can we reach people? Well, how did Jesus reach people? Jesus told stories. And I wanted us to tell the stories of how Jesus had changed our lives. And not necessarily a 5-point gospel presentation, but just becoming vulnerable and relating to people in a way that people can relate to. And a lot of that is done through video and social media. So let's do everything we can to reach people with the gospel. Let's think differently about it. And that was kind of the idea behind the class. And for those who went through the class and got to this point, I'm very proud of you. And I want to offer this to you all. If you want to do your testimony this way, if you want to be vulnerable, let's do another class.
Thanks, Paul. So it was actually about a year ago. My wife and I were on vacation. We went up to the islands in Lake Erie, and it was absolutely lovely. And you know, there's a Dollar General on every corner nowadays. And so we needed to run in for a few things. And on the, you know, there's always like the dollar bin for DVDs. And every now and then I'll cruise to that. They weren't a dollar anymore, but I found this DVD of the movie Flywheel. And some of you may remember that from the early 2000s. It was the first Kendrick Brothers movie. The guys that did Fireproof and Courageous and War Room, this was their first movie. They bought a one reel video camera. This was in like the late 90s, early 2000s. They did the whole movie with one video camera. And they prayed over every element of the whole video project. And is it Graham Kendrick? He says, or Alex, the two brothers. Anyway, he in the interview, he said, you know, I watched cheesy Christian movies all my life and I was tired of it. I wanted to make real good Christian movies. And the first movie I made was a cheesy Christian movie. And they've only gotten better from there. But I remember watching that when it came out. 20 years ago now. And at work, I have produced a web show for the last 2 years. And I thought, what if I could use the talents that God has given me to produce these testimony videos? And I don't want that to draw attention to myself, but for all of us to consider, what are the gifts that God has given you, and how can you employ them in the service of the kingdom? So that's the way I approach this project. For years, there's a website called iamsecond.com, and they've got a whole channel on YouTube. Yes. Wow, powerful gospel stories. And it's not sharing the gospel. It's individuals who you would recognize, celebrities, everybody from music stars to athletes and different people sharing their. They've been doing this over a decade. And it's a simple black backdrop, a white chair, a black shirt, and it's all about the person's face, where their emotion and their story comes from. And I thought we could probably imitate that here. And there's another ministry called One for Israel that kind of took that model, and they've done it a lot in that way as well. So what you're going to see is kind of modeled after that. And the point is that you're focused on the story, not some distracting animations and backgrounds and production, things like that. So with two iPhones and a black backdrop from Amazon and a Craigslist run to inner city Columbus for some carpet padding to soundproof the back room, we were on our way. Jose provided the lighting for us. And Josh Smith helped with some of the audio. And then there was a lot of prayer and practice. We actually sat down and practiced these once before doing the real recording. And then I remember telling someone after the recordings, and I've been here at New Song 10 years, and I've never heard these stories. So that's what we want to share with you today. Now, not all of these videos are explicitly sharing the gospel. As we tried to model it after I Am Second and the way they shared their story, nobody can argue with your story. So the different struggles that people share that you're going to see in these videos is the connection point. So the idea is that I can text a YouTube link to someone that I just met at a coffee shop or a coworker and say, here's my story. If you'd like to talk more, let's meet up. So that's kind of where we're coming from with these videos. This is not sitting down and presenting the gospel word for word. This is telling our story and so people can see what God has done in our lives and give him glory and draw people to them. So after each one of these videos today and next week, I've asked the individuals in them to share why they made the video and what they hope that it accomplishes. So today we're going to watch the first three. That's Paul Marshall and Lael Hutchison and Jeff Hutchison. We're going to watch their stories today. Next week will be Bill Johnston and myself. These videos are each compelling in their own way. And while each person might tell you, well, if I had to do it again, I'd change this or that. You know, that's every sermon too, by the way, right? We would all say, you know, well, I could have probably said this better. But at the end of the day, every single one of these is a very compelling story that will draw people to Christ. So without further talking for me, we're going to watch Paul's video first. But before we do, Bill, go ahead and kill the stage lights. Pull those stage lights all the way down. Make sure everybody can see. Actually, Jeff, you want to help Bill? You have to actually hit the stage button there and pull it all the way down. Yeah, all right.
Hi, my name is Paul Marshall, a writer, retired librarian, and semi-retired painting contractor. This is my story. I still have a photograph of my family standing on the porch of my grandparents' farmhouse. We're kind of lined up left to right. I'm on the left, and I'm 6'6", 160 pounds, just like a stick. You know, like burnt orange acne pimple standing out on the side of my family. I have these polyester pants that don't quite reach my shoes, and kind of a more brownish suit coat that is on me. And my hair is just very 70s. So I guess it's not a surprise that I had a really hard time getting a date in high school. Of course, as you look at me now, that may be hard to believe, being a fine specimen of manhood that I am, but it's true. I think that my life has been a quest for the love and the intimacy and the family that I felt like I didn't get when I was younger. I had a difficult relationship with my father. He was very angry. We kind of hid from him when he came home. He would come into my room even after I was taller than he was. I was 6'6", 160 when I graduated. And he would come in and just hit me. And sometimes he'd take us by the ear and, you know, take us over to what he saw was wrong in the house. And so it was difficult living with him. I would isolate myself in my room. I'd listen to baseball games on the radio and music and just kind of hang out by myself rather than, you know, face the what was on the outside of my room. Probably the most disturbing aspect of my relationship with my father was when my mother called me when I was in my 30s, and she said, "Well, your father's been caught fondling the girls he's been giving music lessons to." And so my first reaction was kind of selfish. I was like, how am I ever going to show my face in my hometown again? You know, this is just awful. And I ended up, you know, realizing I had to deal with this. And I went and talked to my father about it. And he was sorry he got caught, but I don't think he was really sorry about what he did. So when I went off to college, I thought, I'm going to start a new life. You know, this is going to be a brand new thing for me. I'm going to get away from the disappointments of my family. I'm going to find true love. I'm going to have a good family. I'm going to prepare for a great career. I wanted to be a college professor, and I know that I have a cousin who's a college professor. I have a cousin who worked on the Mars Land Rover, and a cousin who's an architect, so there are high expectations. Things didn't seem to work out the way that I had planned. I think that one thing I did was I just was so focused on my own goals that sometimes I just wasn't thinking about or sensitive to what other people wanted. And I know that I proposed to a woman when I was in graduate school, and having no idea that she was going to say no. So I was a little bit too self-absorbed. A few years later, I got married, but that marriage ended in divorce. And then a few years after that, I was engaged, and the engagement ended up being broken. So I just have to look back on that and say, you know, was I really thinking about what the other person wanted, what their goals were? And I think I was a little bit too focused on doing what I wanted. It's one of the lessons I learned from that. So my career was kind of moving from one thing to another, and I really wasn't happy with what I was doing. Similarly, I was looking for love in all the wrong places. I think after all those disappointments and rejections, I just felt kind of desperate. I know I delved into online pornography, and I did these dating sites. And I remember going out to Colorado to the Garden of Gods to meet a woman there. I remember going out to the west coast of Oregon to meet a woman there. We had just briefly corresponded before that. So I just was kind of like pin the tail on the donkey or roulette wheel kind of dating, looking for somebody to fulfill that need that I had. So I found myself in a place where I just wasn't finding what I really wanted, an intimate love and a satisfying purpose, a career in my life. One of the miracles that happened in the midst of all of this disappointment was that I did find the woman that I wanted to marry, and that we now have two wonderful children, and that I am very happy with what I'm doing as a writer. And I understand that not everyone gets this sort of happy ending in their life where I'm at right now. But I do understand now God's part in this, because I have a loving Father and a God who loves me, and that He was very patient and gracious with me during all of this time. It was hard, and I suffered. And I remember I had a Greek teacher in college, and he used to say pathemathos, which was taken from a quote from Aeschylus: one learns through suffering. And I just see that my life was an example of that, that I had to learn some tough lessons. But the revelation that I received was that God was using that suffering in my life to bring me to Him. And I know the Bible says that Jesus learned through the things that He suffered. And I had to learn that I was following my own selfish ends, and I wasn't really thinking about others, and I wasn't thinking about God. And God was merciful to me and patient to me. And not only has He given me this wonderful family here later in my life, but I understand that no matter what happens, I am secure in the love of my Father in heaven.
And that was a very hard video to make, by the way. I'm so proud of Lael Hutchison, who was really hard for her to make her video. I have in my hand here a professionally produced track. And on the back, we have this little thing called a QR code, which links to my blog. And I am shooting for a fully integrated life with website, blog. I'm writing stories. Writing a novel, and wanting to integrate this for the sake of the gospel. I don't have the gift of evangelism. I can't remember the last time I led someone to the Lord. It's been a long time. But I really understand the value now of relating emotionally to the story that God is doing in my life, and the value of knowing what God has done in my life
and the value to others to be able to connect to that. And as you'll see with these other videos, there are very strong life experiences that people can relate to and take the next step in our story where we can get to the gospel. I know, just to share briefly, I have a neighbor, and I talked to Michelle, the pastor of the Nepali church, about my neighbor, who I've become very great friends with. And he said, don't share the gospel with him, just love him. And that's so hard for me, because he's a Brahmin. And he said, he might even move out of your neighborhood if you share the gospel with him. So this is going to be very indirect approach with my friend Meg. And I look forward to maybe sharing this video with him as a way into him finally asking me, what can you tell me your story? Can you share what's different about your life? So looking forward to God using these videos.
Next, we'll go ahead and cue Lael's story.
Are you afraid? Are you fearful? I was there. I'm still there. When I was young, I used to go to church almost every Sunday. When I used to think about heaven, I remember asking my mom, when I die, will I go to heaven? And she told me, well, I'm not sure that anyone knows for sure if they'll go to heaven, but do good things, try to be a good girl, and hopefully that'll be enough. So I did good things, tried to be good, and I was just hoping that I would have enough good to get to heaven, because I didn't want to end up in hell. So life happened. I grew up, got married, moved to Columbus, and after a while, God was no longer a priority in my life. And then, in 2020, I found a lump. I was certain it was cancer. I was fearful. I didn't know what the road was ahead was going to look like. Surgery was scheduled for late December, but 3 days before, I ended up with COVID. So my surgery was rescheduled for January, but nothing ever goes as planned. Because of the pandemic, I had a phone consultation with the surgeon rather than an in-office visit, and I had outpatient surgery instead of a hospital stay. And as I was home recouping, many questions went through my mind. What kind of cancer do I have? What are my chances? Am I gonna need chemo? Am I gonna die? While I was waiting on my first post-op visit, I started to wonder and worry whether I had cancer anywhere else. When I went to that visit, I got that news. The cancers in 5 of your 24 lymph nodes that were removed during the surgery, I'm going to send you for follow-up treatment. So 2.5 weeks after my surgery, I was at 2 oncologist appointments, one for radiation therapy, the other for chemotherapy. It was like getting a drink out of a fire hose. It was scary, it was overwhelming. During that time, I experienced a lot of fear. I had fear when I went to bed at night I couldn't sleep. And when I would finally fall asleep, fear would come again first thing in the morning, and I couldn't think of anything else. All I wondered is, will I die from this cancer? But as I was leaving the doctor's office that day, God put a thought in my head. I'm going to teach you to trust me. I didn't know what that really meant. I was texting with a friend about a verse that I'd been reading in the Bible. That verse was Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. It says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." My friend's text said this: Jesus is walking with you, holding you, loving you through this. This is not his school of hard knocks because you haven't gotten it yet. God is good and kind, gentle and humble of heart. Jesus said that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Doesn't seem like it, right? But perhaps that's because you are trying to pull the yoke and not simply walk beside him, the bigger, stronger, wiser ox. Let him write your story. That story, though it will have some dark, distressing chapters, as every good book does, is a beautiful love story with a glorious ending. You trusted him with your eternity. You can trust him with your now. I had a test scheduled to see if the cancer was anywhere else in my body. And the night before, fear hit me like I'd never experienced before. I wanted to know, but I didn't want to know. And nothing I did could get the fear to go away. So finally, I just prayed. I told God that I didn't want to die. I was only 60 years old. I felt like I had a lot of life to live. But I asked him, "Lord, if this is your will that I would not survive this cancer, then help me to please accept that." I prayed and surrendered my life to him. I surrendered my husband, my children, my grandson. I knew I needed to trust him completely. And just like that, the fear was gone completely. I believe it's what God wanted. After that, I began to seek God earnestly. And God brought me several strong in the faith believers to help me. They sent me encouraging texts. They were there for me when I needed them. They prayed with me. They sent me Christian songs and devotionals to read to encourage me. And as they were there for me night and day, whenever I needed them, I began to see and experience God's nearness to me. I knew I needed to focus more on him. Well, it's been about 2 years since that surgery, and at this point, I am cancer-free. And yet, we never know the plans that God has for us. And so it's something that I just trust him for. I chose not to have chemotherapy or radiation treatments. Instead, I researched alternative cancer treatments. I decided to change my lifestyle. I changed my eating habits. I started trying to live a healthy life and lean on God for strength. There are many verses in the Bible that say that God will never leave us or forsake us, but we never know how things are going to work out, and oftentimes our trials don't have favorable outcomes this side of heaven. But one thing I have learned is that I can know for sure whether I'm going to heaven. The good news is that it has nothing to do with how good you are or how many good things that you do or how many bad things that you do. Religion follows a set of rules. Religion starts with the first step of maybe getting baptized, and then you have teachers and mentors and parents to guide you along the journey. And it's all about, in the end, do your good deeds outweigh your bad? Will you pass the judgment? Are you good enough? We don't know, because we don't know what good enough is. Christianity is different. It's not a religion. It's a relationship with Jesus. Christianity is not about following a set of rules. It's about following a person, Jesus. In John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus said, "Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." I made that decision to follow Jesus in the moment that I confessed my need for him and surrendered my will to him. I knew for certain that when I die, I will be with him in heaven. In that doctor's office, God told me he was going to teach me to trust him. I didn't know what that was going to look like, but now I trust him completely for everything. I am no longer afraid to die. I am at total peace with whatever comes my way. Are you? His goodness is running after me. Thank you for that song, Vicki, today. So when I first got saved in 1982, I thought I had surrendered my entire life to him. But over time in my Christian walk, I realized that there was one area that I did not want to yield to him, and that was in the area of evangelism. I tried to justify that because I was involved with Operation Christmas Child, which shares the gospel with children, that I was doing evangelism, but honestly, I knew in my heart that God wanted me to share my personal story. And as a result, my relationship with the Lord did not flourish, and I kind of stepped away from that relationship. But 2 years ago, I surrendered my life again to him, and this time I surrendered all. And so when Paul decided to do his class, I felt God telling me I should go. Was I going to be obedient? Yes, I was. But then I heard, so anyway, I made my testimony track, and I was pretty happy with that. And then one day I walked into the Sunday school class and I hear them talking about doing a video. And I'm terrified of being in front of a camera. And so I didn't really want to do it. And I just thought, you know, I need to be obedient to what God is asking me to do. And so I did. I did it. And ultimately, I guess I just wanted to be obedient to God and yield my will to do what he asked me to do. So recently I was reading in my Bible from the book of Zechariah in chapter 4, verse 10 says, this was in the Living Bible, "Do not despise this small beginning, for the eyes of the Lord rejoice to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel." They were talking about rebuilding the temple, and they had just had the foundation in, and people were upset that this temple was not going to be as big and grand as the one prior. But this verse made me think about the video because I'd just seen it for the first time a couple of days before that. And I think what you do for God might seem small or insignificant, but God rejoices in us doing what is right. And I just hope to be faithful in the small opportunities and what I can do and trust the results to God. So thank you.
And next is Jeff's video.
Hey, do you know what's worse than finding a worm in your apple? Finding half a worm in your apple! Hi, my name is Jeff, and I'm a recovering jokeaholic. You know the type. The kind of guy who's always quick with the line, always making jokes about things, especially about himself. You see, that's typically what people do when they don't really feel good about themselves. I tended to do that a lot. I also would look at life kind of strangely from time to time. You know, like doing extreme things, like, you know, maybe like eating worms. Although I don't think I have done that, at least consciously. When I was growing up, I was involved in the scouting movement and typically went to summer camps and where you go and learn about things and have campfires and tell jokes and songs. One song was called, I'm Gonna Eat Some Worms. Nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I'm gonna eat some worms. Short, fat, juicy ones, long, slim, slimy ones, itsy bitsy fuzzy little worms. The first line of that goofy little song could kind of sum up how I felt my life was during my school age years. I really felt like people, you know, didn't like me, and that, much like George Bailey, you know, in It's a Wonderful Life, felt like maybe life would have been better if I had not been born at all. There's a couple reasons for that. One was that my dad, while I was growing up, was in the Air Force. And unlike a lot of other kids where they had carefree time to go out and play with their friends, I didn't have that because we moved around a lot. So it was tough, you know, growing up that way. Another thing was, as I was growing up, I was a rather chubby kid, or I'll just say I was fat, you know. That kind of made it an easier target to, you know, have people pick on you. And that is kind of rough, especially when you're going from town to town trying to make friends. And after a while, you just keep hearing all of the lies that people tell you about, you know, you're fat, you're ugly, you're fat, you're ugly. Well, eventually, my dad got out of the Air Force, and we ended up settling in Mount Vernon, Ohio. I thought, finally, I'll be able to have a normal life. Unfortunately, that cloud that had been hanging around me just followed me. It's kind of amazing how, you know, kids can be cruel no matter where you are. And the same taunts happened over and over and over again. And eventually that lie that you keep getting told you tend to start to believe it. And I still wondered, maybe my life would be better off if I wasn't even here. Nobody would have to worry about me. It even got to the point where in my senior year of high school, March of 1982, I had actually contemplated committing suicide. If it wasn't for the loving family that I have and a few close friends from high school that God brought my way, I might not even be here right now telling you this story. But as with life, in many ways, we have to keep pushing on. So what was next? Of course, going to college. I went to Ohio State to study architecture. Unfortunately, it has a way of isolating you by going to a completely new place. And that cloud that was following me was still there. I still had these feelings, and I was sitting in the between the roots of a tree on the oval at Ohio State, just contemplating about my life, when a young man named Pat came by and just started talking to me. At one point, he asked me an interesting question. He said, "If you were to die today, would you go to heaven?" I thought, well, I don't know. I had hoped that, you know, I was a good person. I didn't murder anybody. I was trying to do good. And then he said something that really caused me to think. He said, "Do you know that you can know 100% for sure that you would go to heaven?" The thought never really, you know, occurred to me. Growing up, I learned about Jesus, and Christmas, and Easter, and all of that about Jesus dying for me. But I didn't know that you could know for sure, 100%, that you could go to heaven. Well, we finished our conversation and had a few more pleasantries we exchanged, and then he left. A couple weeks later, Pat and my now best friend, Paul, invited me to go to a presentation called Mankind on the Brink. It was interesting. It was a presentation about how events in history were predicted by the Bible. And not only that, but they're still going on today. That really made me wonder. And again, they asked the question, "Do you know that you can know 100% that you're going to heaven?" I knew at that moment that if I were to die right then, I was not going to go to heaven. That evening, I gave my life to Jesus. I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. And all the fears that I had kind of were gone. The only thing that I needed to do was to accept Jesus' payment for my sins. Nothing I could do would get me to that point. And so today I am a Christian. Now, I would be lying if I said that I still, you know, that did away with all of my problems, all of my issues, and the feelings that I had from those past memories of being picked on and feeling like I'm inadequate and I'm not worth anything. But this much I do know is that every day since then, God has been with me. And I know that God says in his word that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And so are you. That's how God views me. That my value comes from him. Why did Jesus die for me? Because he thought I was worth it. And you know what? You're worth it too. Well, unlike my wife, I really don't have a problem being in front of the microphone. Sounds like a lot of you know me. We were asked to come up with two different things, like why is it that we did the video and what do we hope to get out of it? As you can tell, if you can share your story, somebody like me might actually hear it and get saved. The Paul I was referring to is Paul Marshall. So I've known him for 40 years, and that's how long it's taken for me to get to the point where, although I was saved, and God's word says that we need to share what Jesus has done, you know, in some way, I just never got around to it. I had it in my mind what I wanted to do, you know, and how to put it together, but things come, things go. Life gets busy. You have, you know, bills to pay, you know, and your kids are growing up and all that. But I just had this nagging feeling. It's like, I just need to do this. I need to be obedient, much like my wife, about, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. You know, in recent events, we've all lost family members, church members, friends. And it's like, I want to have something that's going to last. And we were talking about doing the whole digital thing. One of the reasons I did the video is because I wanted to share it. Last year, we had my 40th high school reunion, and I wanted to have it ready to be able to share with them. So now I at least have that vehicle that I'm going to put it on Facebook. And I even contemplated, you know, putting together a blog site or something and go into that. What I hope people take away from this ultimately is that they get saved. Not that I can count a number of people, I probably can count on one hand and still losing a few fingers how many people that I've actually been able to see come to Christ. Ashley and I saw one of them when we were in prison. But I want people to see this, to realize that as much as I still struggle with this. You can ask Paul and Lael both. They have permission to share about my life, that I still struggle with this. It's like, you know, I'm not worth it. I'm not worth anything. I don't have this testimony like I did drugs or I killed somebody or all this stuff and God had miraculously changed me and that I'm completely different. But I think there's probably a lot more people that are like me. They didn't do a lot of bad things, but God still changed them. And your story is important, just like mine. You never know who you're going to touch. You never know who you're going to connect with. So my hope is that, feel free to share it. The one change, I think Paul would be able to agree, that, you know, he knew me from when I was not saved to where I am now. The old me would have been like, why did I make the video? Hey, because I want millions of views. I want to be important. But that's not the reason. God has changed me. I want him to get the glory for any salvation that comes from this. And I would like to encourage all of you to do the same. Consider, even in a short form, what was your life like before Christ? How did you come to the point of deciding Christ as your Lord and Savior? And how are you different today? So I would just like to encourage you to do that. And I would like to thank Ashley for all the time that he put into these. He picked the music and all that kind of stuff. Let's hear it. Ashley didn't know years ago that, you know, all the things that he was going through was to be able to be in a position to where he could take this and make Jeff Hutchison look good. So, but definitely would like to encourage you. If I can, you know, help you guys with any of that stuff, let me know. I'd be happy to. And please feel free to go and share mine out there with anybody that you think could use it. Thank you.
I laughed, I cried. You know I cried. Wow. I remember just sitting there tearing up right now. I've watched these videos. You don't know how many times I've watched these videos. I've been editing them. And I sat down with Mary on the couch and I said, let me show you Jeff's video. And I'd been editing it and watched it the first time front to back. And I choked up. It's just the power of transformation. That's what we're here to talk about, is the power of transforming power of Christ and the gospel to do something in our lives that can really help our lives and help so many others. So thank you to Paul and Jeff and Lael for your transparency and courage. I know this was not easy, but there are so many others will benefit. And in less than 24 hours of these videos being up on YouTube, I just turned them public last night, and there's already a few views trickling in on each one of these videos, just people on YouTube finding these stories and starting to watch them. So as you watched these videos today, you might have thought about somebody who would be helped if they watched one of these. And so that's where you come in. That's where you can help. So all you have to do is message somebody on social media, send them a text message, and you can send them the address that you saw at the end of each video, newsong.family/stories. Or you can go to the YouTube channel and share the video directly. All it takes is a text message or a direct message on social media. And on our website here for the church now, you'll see a stories link. It's featured on the front page. And you go to that page, and there's just a little paragraph at the top that says, you know, it is hard to tell your story, but these people have done it for you. And if you would like to talk to somebody after watching these videos, you can email stories@newsong.family. And it'll go to everybody who's in the videos. So we can begin to follow up with people who might want to talk to somebody about their struggles. So that is the ask for you today. Super easy, low bar for sharing the gospel. Just a text message, a social media post, put it on your Facebook, your Instagram, your Twitter. Hey, we watched this video at church today and it really impacted me. Is there anything that, maybe you don't ask a question, maybe say, does this connect with you? You know, however you want to do that. Maybe you know a coworker, a family member who would benefit from one of these stories. Just text the video to them. They're all up on YouTube. You can watch them on your smart TV and get to them everywhere. So that is our ask for you today. Now, next week is Bill's story and my story. So no spoilers, all right? Don't go watch our video yet. All right, you got three to work with this week. They're up there. They're live. But no spoilers. Don't watch those two until next week. So please take a minute this week to share this encouragement with others who need the transforming power of the gospel in their lives. We do have a couple announcements as